Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us yet again on this June 14th, 2018. My goodness, the year is just getting away from us here. Got a topic tonight we think that you may be able to identify with. But more importantly, it's in line with some of the recent conversation we've had. For our new listeners, this is Talk Straight, a national dialogue, intentionally, and it's sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research arm for local Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. All right. And our purpose is to help, strengthen, to uplift, and to provide support and guidance for those who are in need, specifically across urban America. All right, so tonight, as we have been in the past, we're going to share this topic with you tonight. You know, and the number to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Let me first stop and thank all of you who have kept up with us and participated via the live stream with Facebook right here on the podcast platform with Blog Talk Radio, BFC Institute on Blog Talk Radio. We're grateful that you have joined us on this episode of Talk Straight and calling in and sharing your and even posting your comments or questions online. All right, having said that, again, you can give us a call here. I'm going to go through our monologue very briefly by way of giving an introduction to the subject matter tonight, which has to do with Reuben Hurricane Carter. I didn't get him because I like his first name, even though he got a pretty cool first name, now, Reuben. All right, navigating the struggles and disappointments of typical life in urban America. In many ways, it's like playing a game. As with any game, the most successful participants are those who master the rules of that game, and they play well and maintain themselves within the competition itself. Now, however, the very best of athletes or players get knocked down sometimes. Are not so successful, don't win. Perhaps the most important thing to remember, though, and as you compete in any type of competition, and that is this: A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. All right, we're going to get right into it with that, into our monologue. The topic is how to stay in the game after being knocked down. Now, we're talking about Reuben Hurricane Carter as a case study tonight. As I mentioned to you and I shared with our last guest, Mr. Brown, we're using real-life instances, things that other black men been through. You know, the reality is we can't take it personal because we're not the first, and unfortunately may not be the last. But we're doing what we can to try to limit that and improve the quality of life there for people in general, particularly those in urban America. Having said that, that's our topic tonight, how to stay in the game after being knocked down. And we'll use as a case study, Reuben, the Hurricane Carter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places." At the height of his career, the renowned boxer Reuben Carter was twice wrongly convicted of a triple murder and was in prison nearly 2 decades. Now, there's a thing called double jeopardy, being tried for the same crime and being sentenced for it. Can you believe this injustice happened to this brother? He was released in 1985, though, after a federal judge overturned his conviction, and Carter went on to become an activist for all those who have been wrongly convicted, as he was. He was born May of 1937 in Clinton, New Jersey. It was in 1966, at the height of his boxing career, though, that Carter was wrongfully convicted of triple murder and put in jail. Of course, you know that knocked him down. That impeded his progress. During the mid-1970s, you may have seen this if you've been around during that time, his case became what they call a cause for celebration. And it brought out a number of big-name people, civil rights activists, boxers and entertainers and all kind of folk who got to hear his story. Okay? His case became real big. On April 20th, 2014, unfortunately, Brother Carter passed away from here as a result of prostate cancer. But his story continues to be a life lesson for all those that were stopping considering. So Carter grew up in Paterson, you know, New Jersey, even though he wind up in Clinton. He grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, mostly, and was arrested and sent to Janesboro State Home for Boys at the early age of 12 years old. See, his troubles didn't just start when he became an adult. All right, they claim that he attacked a man with a Boy Scout knife. Now, when he replied, he claimed that this man was a pedophile who was trying to take advantage of him and other little boys, his friends, and he came to their defense. Carter was placed in his home, but guess what? He was a fighter. He jetted on him, and he escaped from the facility before his 6-year term had been completed. While he was on the run, he joined the United States Army in 1954, right? Stayed in the Army for a little while. And while he was in the Army, one of the skill sets he picked up was being a boxer, putting them hands up, right? He won 2 European lightweight welterweight championships. And in 1956, he came back home to America, to Paterson, New Jersey, with the intention of becoming a professional boxer. He wanted to build on that skill. But almost immediately, they finally caught him. See, he was a fugitive and he was on the run. And just when things started going good for him, he had to face the music. Now, in a minute, we're going to talk about this. Some might make the argument he should never have been arrested and locked up in the first place. That's a good conversation. I hope we get to weigh that thing out. Okay? But as soon as he got home from the military and serving, they grabbed him. He was arrested and forced to serve the remaining 10 months of that time that he got initially as a juvenile in the reformatory school, even though he's an adult now. 57, Carter was again arrested. Same police officer, same police department, same individuals. This time, they said he snatched somebody's purse. He did a 4-year bid for that in Trenton, and they state maximum security prison. Crime that he didn't commit. After his release, he channeled his considerable anger and frustration toward the situation of what happened in Patterson, African-American community, into a boxing venue. He took it out and became a really good boxer, right? He turned pro in 1961 and began a very productive fighting career. Now, this dude had a number of fights and a number of TKOs, knockouts, okay? Because of his fast hands, put them hands on you real quick, pop, 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 Carter soon earned the nickname Hurricane. He had a certain style of throwing punches and rotating them that he hit you so fast it was like a hurricane. That's how he got the name Hurricane, and became one of the top contenders in the world middleweight crown. December 63, in a non-title bout, he beat the welterweight world champion, Emily Griffin, in his first round with a TKO. Now, it's world champ now. Okay, although he lost his one shot at the title in a 15-round split decision to reigning champion, Joey Guidotto, in 1964, he was widely regarded as a good bet to win his next battle. As one of the most famous citizens in Patterson, Carter made no friends with the police, especially during the summer of 1964, when he was quoted in the Saturday Evening Post, a local paper, as expressing anger toward the occupation of black people in black neighborhoods. Does that sound familiar in 2018? There are a lot of young guys right now who have this same type of vitriol toward police and authority and the system, because they believe, hey, it ain't done us right. We got callers in queue. Let's hear Donald McCurkin just for a second. He said, we're all human, and even if we think we're saints, we're just a sinner who fell down. Here you hear me.
We fall down, but we can. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, yes. For our fame is just a sinner who fell down. But we couldn't stay there, and God is saying that.
All we are. Yeah.
But we can't stay there.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Tonight we're talking from the top. How to stay in the game after being knocked down. Brother, it's right or wrong. Do you get up or you get upset? And welcome to the show, guys. We got 1098 with us in tonight. How you doing, sir?
All right.
Hey, the fam, we got that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
All right, I got that pretty lady out of Peoria, Illinois. All right. Mama D. Mama D, 8112, a.k.a. And we got Professor Mika with us tonight. They let off tonight, Pastor Wallace. How you doing, Professor Mika?
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the show tonight. And, of course, we have our...
How you ladies doing?
Pretty good.
Brother Outcast?
I'm good. You?
Yeah, good, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, I'm going to come and see you one day. What is that, 4 to 10 in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Outstanding, brother.
Yeah. Reverend Doc can give you my number.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be sure to do that.
Yeah.
You guys, have y'all ever got knocked down in the game? I know Pastor
yes,
Wallace.
Sir.
He wrote a whole chapter about it in this book. Hold on, Pastor. It ain't
yes,
fair.
Sir.
You be quiet.
No,
he dedicated a whole chapter to that in his book. But anybody ever been knocked down before? Set back?
Yes, sir.
All right. What did you do? What happened? Y'all heard about what happened to Brother Carter. And you know there's a lot of young guys out there. I don't know if they're familiar with Reuben Carter's story, but it's a similar type of thing where they have problems engaging with law enforcement and other authority figures in society and government. And they just feel like, hey, I got to stay on the guard, ready to fight all the time. Is that a healthy thing?
No.
Help me out, 8112. Help me out.
You asked me, Pastor, is that a healthy thing?
Yes. Talk to me about that.
I don't believe it could be because, as the guy said, when we fall down, we get up. We get knocked down, fall down, we get up. If you don't get up, then where are you going to stay? Down on the ground? If you stay down there, you lost, and then it means you're going under the ground.
Okay.
I'd rather get up.
All right. But sometimes people feel defeated, 3072, and they just feel like it's no chance. I surrender. I quit. Is that understandable, 3072?
Well, it is understandable, but, I mean, it's not valid. I mean, to quit and you're not dead is like, man, a daily suicide being committed on yourself. That's not healthy to walk around with a chip on your shoulder either. Each and every day you wake up, you are missing out on the best parts of life, which is to breathe, to have activities of your limbs, to be able to think, to be able to come back to the table and redo something better again than you messed up yesterday. So they're missing out.
Okay. But you do acknowledge it as being human, though, to reach that point where you just want to say, I can't win. Don't seem like sometimes God is listening to me, Pastor Wallace. You know, I just can't win. So forget it.
I know it's again, and I'm sorry if there was Chris or whoever it was. I apologize for interrupting. But what I would like to say is that there was a time where I was at a place that the only thing I could do was to stay strong, even for myself as well as my children. I took the lashings a lot of times because if I gave up, I gave in. And I thought, it was too easy to give in. It was harder for me to fight. And the struggle is still what it is, but each and every day, you may fall down, but you can come back up if you try.
Watch out. All right.
You have to try. It ain't easy. Oh, no. You may feel like, well, hell, I need you, my father. Where are you at? But he will not come if you do not
Lord,
help him.
All right. All right. So you agree with the scripture that said he's a very present help in a time of trouble. I didn't come to preach. But,
But you got to also go to him when you think you're doing okay, because your good day may be one of those.
I believe you're trying to preach on me, 8112. I think you're trying to take a text on me tonight.
All right.
Let me read something to you guys, and I'm going to see if we can't get hold to the author of these words. It says, my fascination with the activities on the corner constantly increased during my youth. This led to an increase of experimenting with the use of drugs. My friends and I considered the experiment as a new way to have fun. And eventually, all the other activities around us became less important. That included going to school and my love for playing basketball. Cat got knocked out the game. I wonder if we can hear from the author. Oh, wait a minute. That's none other than Pastor Ricky Waller. Pastor, talk to us about that, man, that forsaken talent. What happened with that?
That sounds very familiar, man. See, that's a reminder. It's a pretty tough reminder, though. I didn't have God in my life at that time. I knew a lot about God. I just only heard about it, you know, while I was young. And forsaken talent, it is a very important part of what I dealt with in my life. And when you made known of that, it came from watching other guys doing their thing. And, you know, once things became less important to me, I mean, you're definitely right about that. And so I was going down here fast, quick, and in a hurry with nothing to hold on to. And I would imagine not having God in your life. So that meant that I didn't know to call on God that he would accept me, because I wasn't the kind of person that would pretend like I was on God's team. And and I knew that, you know, I didn't want to, you know, fool myself, you know, to fool God and say, okay, God, I know who you are, and please help me. I didn't do anything like that. I never done that when I was out in the street. But one thing that I can say concerning that, what you was talking about, that the devil did set the trap for me, and I ran into it. And I will give you a little briefing of something that, if you don't mind, I don't mind sharing this.
Go ahead.
Known as Fat Rick, I became an icon in Nashville community. My lifestyle was one that glamorized the drug culture and made the life of who supplied those drugs something to be envied. The money, the clothes, the fast life, the women, the cars, the reputation was a lifestyle that the young men surrounding me coveted, and they would go to any length to obtain it. In reality, the drug culture is nothing but death feeding on the dead. I was the walking dead. I was the walking dead. You know, so I considered myself as the walking dead during that time. And so I knew what it was like to be up from down under. But one day I had a chance to call on God. And, you know, and he heard me. And, you know what I mean? And then in time, to process through it, he delivered me. And so I can't, you know, listen to that song now today and give it any props, because I didn't know God. I mean, a person said he was born in sin, so that means that everything I was doing, I was just captured. But once I got free from all that, Pastor Doctor, and to everyone that's listening, that song is not a valid song to me anymore, because when you're delivered, there's no more falling down and getting back up again. Not when you're delivered. You see what I'm saying?
Wait a minute.
So I don't want to be... Yes, I want to go back and say that to me, you know what I mean?
I think somebody else want to ask you about that too.
Yeah, that's fine, because it's something about it, and now to him who's able to keep me from falling. So there's no more falling concerning that. because I got with the one who can keep me from falling. And and I take his report over the song because the song can sound good, Pastor Doctor, which I know a lot of people do.
All right.
And that's what got me in trouble. That's what got me in trouble. You know, I was listening to the songs or the music in the streets and the sound of the guys standing on the corner, how they was talking, looking, and feeling. And that's what got me in trouble. So I had to be mindful and pay attention to the songs that I hear so I won't let it get in my system. Because it says, we fall down. Wait a minute, hold up. You can say you fell down. Don't add me to that no more. I had enough of that first round falling.
Well, hold on. No more. Okay, Pat. Hold on, yeah, Pat. Stay right there, man. Stay right there. We're about to go around here, Pat. What were you going to say, Alcat?
No. I'm just listening. I'm listening.
Lady, I'll agree with that.
I'll come in in a few.
Okay. Lady, do you agree with that premise? His premise is that after I've gotten up, it's impossible for me to fall again. Am I hearing you right, bro, Pastor?
Ain't no more claiming no falling. I'm not going to listen to a song more like to do with that because I know that that would be misleading to me after I've heard from the one who say he's able to falling. You see what I'm saying? Now, if he hadn't said that, then I would go on along with the songs that I hear people that make up songs. See, people make up songs in the churches and they sound really good, man. But that don't mean it's just funny.
Okay, well, hold on there, bro. Hold on, you're going blowing tonight, man. I'm about to say, where you with that? Hey, what's where you with that?
Yeah, my voice got a little hoarse, but may I say something?
Yeah, come on.
I got a couple of anxious, semi-anxious young guys here ready to speak. If I'm going to shut up, so, because I know I respect the fact. Happy Father's Day coming up to all you guys.
Thank you.
Love y'all for doing what y'all do. And now I'm gonna put the phone down and let one speak at a time calmly. Just a second.
All right.
You got to hold the phone. It's fine.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Good. Listen, I don't know if you heard it, but hold on
Saint
one second.
Louis.
All right, Brother Lewis. All right. Hold on, Brother Lewis.
Only thing I want to
add. I don't know
if
you heard it, but Pastor Walker was sharing that after he fell and managed to get up, he stand on his feet. Ain't no falling down no more. There's no excuses like that no more. I played the song by Donnie McClurkin, and we fall down, but we get up. What do you think about that, Lewis?
My thought about that is exactly my point, is that you might fall down. Don't mean that you can't be. You get up, you get up. We all get up. If we don't all get up, but when you do get up, you stand up. You might be knocked down again. For him, it might not have happened. He might have stood up, gained his stance, and nobody else came through and was able to knock him down. Doesn't mean that doesn't happen to other people. People stand up. Sometimes they knock down, and guess what they got to do in the faith of resilience? Stand back up. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep climbing. Other people do somehow get knocked back down, and that don't mean quit. That doesn't mean quit.
Right.
That means that you got to fight a little harder than the last person fought. Doesn't mean that when you do everything you want to do or you go everywhere you want to go that your job is done, and because you up on your feet and everything is good in your life at this point in time that you won't be knocked off of your solid ground. You are not God. So you can't play the role of God saying that, okay, once you up, and that's it, it's over. You done went through all your troubles and your worries. That's a lie. You can be knocked back down. I don't care if you come from $0 to $100 million. This happened before. Ask Antoine Walker.
I'd like to see.
You can lose that. You can lose that $100 million. You can lose that nice $1 million house for your mom. You can lose that. And you can come right back to where you started from, which was from the very bottom, and can you survive that? Can you take the stigma?
I take your
That's
point,
my
Lewis.
Question.
Hold your position right there.
Down multiple times.
All right. Hold your position right there, Lewis. I take your point. 37-2, and I got to have Pastor respond. 37-2, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in defense to Pastor Waller, I understand where he was coming from with saying that.
Right.
While he was talking, I felt like, okay, so if you see yourself running in a race really fast and you know, oh, it feels like I done tripped over something, why would you just stop and fall down? Why would you stop and fall down? You got to keep going. That's not to say that another stumbling block won't come, but it is to say you cannot see defeat and accept that. You can't do that. And not to fall down doesn't necessarily literally mean not falling down. That means I'm not giving in, and I'm not staying down for nothing.
Oh, hello. Okay.
That's what I got from what he said, and that's what I agree with. That's how I live my life. I'm not going to see myself about to fall, and okay, God, well, I'm going to fall and sell these drugs real quick, and then I'm a sinner, and I'm going to get back up. No, you see where you're going. Get yourself out of that. Pull on back.
Okay. All right. I think 1098 wanted to respond. Thank you, 3072. And look like
sure.
we got a call on the line, but for some reason or another, I hope. Can you hear me, caller? That's 4639. Can you hear me? I'm not sure what's going on. If you can hear me, call me back again. Somehow your line is not coming in clear there. Okay. Go ahead, 1098.
Okay, I understand what Reverend Wally is saying. Look, I prayed to God, you know, because I had old David, didn't know it. That was 1975. I prayed to God. I said, God, I said, if you let me live, I'd never do it again. That was dealing with, you know, marijuana, you know, and the acid, you know, that I had taken. This was in 1975.
Okay.
This is 2018. I have not messed with drugs or marijuana since 1975. I understand where Reverend Wallace is coming from. Reverend Wallace is the God right now when it comes to what he used to do. And he's getting this from he turned it all around. Now, yes, we might trip, fall, we get up, we keep going, but we keep fighting. You know, as a young man stated, keep fighting, stay focused.
Yeah.
Stay focused.
Yeah.
And at this point, Reverend Wallace is focused just as well as myself. You know,
I see.
And that was 1975. Count the years from the summer of 1975, I think around June 1975 until 2018. Count the years. There's any kind of dope in my system.
And can I say this too?
Yeah.
I feel like God gives us that strength and that power when we can confess, Lord, I'm feeling weak, but I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to give in. I'm trusting and I'm leaning and I'm depending on you to help me pull through this. He will. I'm sorry. Nobody can tell me anything else. That's all I've seen.
All right. I'm coming back to you, Lewis. I haven't forgot you. But let me bring a caller in. I think this is Professor Robertson. Is that you, Professor?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Hey, man. How you doing? How's everything?
Oh, everything is great. Absolutely, absolutely great.
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. A question, comment right quickly before we go to Lewis there.
I need you to come in real quick.
Hold on, Professor. What were you saying, Pastor Wally?
Yeah. After Professor says something, I need to go on and tell you what I need to tell you right quick.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Go ahead.
He said he yielded to you. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. Now, is everybody listening?
Yes, we're listening
to what he said. Okay, now look, I don't trust me. I haven't trusted me in 26 years, all right? When I trusted me, I was down and couldn't get up because I was walking dead.
Okay.
I turned it over to him. I got the input from him. I don't know how many people believe in God's word, but I'm going to share with you what the word of God said, not what I said.
Okay.
He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call in an election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. That's the word of God. Now, this is the word of God. This is the word of Fred Ricky. This is the word. So who reports should I believe? An opinion, or should I take the word of God? I want somebody to tell me that. If you can tell me that I should take your opinion, then I got to let you know it. If I don't trust me, goodness gracious, I sure enough can't trust what you say, because you get ready to send me back out there, because if I keep that bag back there, I'm
going to get back up.
See, I took the first round. I can't stand the second round of it. So I'm already familiar with that. So I have to do what the word of God says and make my call in an election sure. No questions, no doubts, no hands and busts aside. Because if I was going back, I would have been back a long time ago, brother. So, 2 Peter 1:10, look at it and see what it says, and let me know that you can fall behind following his instruction. There's no falling when you follow his instruction.
Okay.
No. You know what I mean? I just wanted to share that with you so people would know this is not coming from me. This is coming from one in whom I put my trust in. And that's the reason why I don't trust you. I've been a
fool. I want you
once,
to know,
Pastor,
that I'm learning tonight as well, Pastor and Lewis. So we want to be open to the dialogue. Let me go back to Professor Wallace Robertson right quickly. Get his comment there.
Yeah, we have 6.2 million jobs available in this country.
Okay.
Black unemployment rate is at an all-time low, and yet still we have people who choose to take the easy way out and sell drugs in our community. 6.2 million jobs available, black unemployment at an all-time low. Jobs are there. Why do they choose to continue to do what they're doing when there are other alternatives?
Okay. Okay. I got your question. That's the question.
And let's stop glamorizing it. There are jobs available going back forever. We chose, whoever chose to do it, that was a choice that they made. There were other options available.
True. All right.
Excuse me, Pastor. Now,
yes,
I got to chime in. I mean, I don't mean to be rude. Don't mean to cut the gentleman off. But I got to say, who controls the hiring process? Who controls who gets those jobs? Who gives those jobs? Is it the person that applies or the person who needs that worker? They choose those jobs, and it's usually not going to be for somebody that looks like me. It's more so going to be towards somebody who's older, more educated, or in this situation or that situation, dressed in this suit jacket or that suit jacket. I don't wear one personally. Me, young, I'm youthful, I'm vibrant. I'm trying to sell myself to a company, but I lack the experience. So to say that, oh, there's jobs out here. Yeah, it's a lot of jobs out here, but are you qualified? Who taught me how to be a member of this trade? Who taught me how to integrate into society? Based off of what we already know off our past history, society has never given a black man reasonable doubt. I'm guilty, and I cannot be proven innocent until I go through the court of law. And then, even then, I still got a stigma on my back. So how do I walk into a workforce that doesn't want me and become something that they don't want?
All right, Lewis. Listen, I want you to be open-minded. Listen to his response to your question, okay? All right,
I want
you to be open-minded. Listen to him. Let him finish his thought. Professor, you want to respond to that?
The vast majority of black people are gainfully employed. The vast majority of black people have never been incarcerated. There are 27 million black people with a high school diploma or better in this country today out of 43 million. And so I work, and I have worked with, in fact, this past Friday I was at the Nashville Detention Center working with some kids and getting ready to bring an entrepreneurship program into the detention center. I work with adults. I work with young people, and I've been working with them for a very long time. Yes, if you have an issue, it's going, but there are ways to work around that, and other people are doing it successfully.
Okay,
the
so what are your thematic?
Is not
100%. What have you been able to overturn?
Lewis,
yes,
let him
I'm
finish,
sorry.
And then we'll, then,
right.
then we'll bring you in, okay?
He was done. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I work with several programs and have worked over the past 25 years with programs in different cities to help those who have been incarcerated and or those who, you know, quote unquote, are at risk through mentoring programs that I've led, that I've created, and other initiatives. But at the end of the day, the opportunities are there. The opportunities were there during the Great Recession. Where?
Thank you, Nika. Where are the opportunities? Where are the numbers? Do you have numbers to back what you are stating? Do you have the numbers to back what you are stating? Do you have a success? Do you have a turnover rate from criminal to non-criminal? So you telling me that you've done this for 25 years. Do you have a success rate? Do you have a percentage of numbers of young black men who started off this way?
I can answer that question. I can answer that question.
Please,
Lewis,
right, hold on one second. I'm passionate. I'm sorry.
Y'all going to
be mad at me, but I'm passionate.
No, we don't want to be mad at you, Lewis, but we don't want to be mad at you, but we don't want you to walk over everyone else either, okay? So try to just take it in for a second and hear what he's saying. Let me let Professor finish, and I think 1098 wanted to say something.
I'm going to let 1098 jump in. 1098, you have the floor.
Okay, you have some poor success rate, incarceration. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to state this. If you have a driver license in your pocket, you have a job. You know, if you went to college and you've been incarcerated, you go to college for one thing, not to work for someone else, work for yourself. See, here's the problem. Now, you say you're young. You got a lot of young guys your age, some of them 28, 29, 30. You know, and got good positions and companies and things of that nature. You're trying to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sell yourself
mm-hmm.
to who and what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what you're doing. You're talking about selling yourself. Again, you must build yourself. Even when you fall, the way you're talking, you should be thinking like me. I don't have to beg someone for a job. I have a degree in the field, and I work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
You're still trying to lie to blame at someone else's feet, like if the white man keeping you down. I've been to penitentiary, and the only someone that can keep me down is me. You know, you have to keep moving, and I hold that. Bring Professor back in.
All right, hold on one second. Go ahead, 3072. What 3072?
Well, I was gonna agree with 1098 and with the Lewis. Okay, so that's the thing. We as older people, we know how to get it. We know how to get it from life experiences. These younger people now, they don't have that. So, and yes, I agree with 1098. A lot of times, because they don't know what else to do, they look to place, you know, the responsibility on someone else when it's really up to you. But to their defense, Professor, okay, so your thing there in Nashville, I don't know where you are exactly, but he doesn't have that resource there in Peoria. So maybe is there something you can work on to, like, extend that to multiple and whatever so everybody can get some of what you're offering?
I think y'all misunderstood. Go ahead, Professor.
Go ahead.
I'm trying
to let people know is that there are solutions today, a lot of solutions that a lot of people are not taking advantage of, number one.
Sure.
And I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to just share real quickly a little bit that drives me. And I was talking to my son, and I realized that when I was 15 years old, I rode a bike 7.1 miles to work every day in the summertime. And so for me, if someone's telling me they can, I guarantee you, if you look at where you are and you draw a radius 7.1 miles around where you are, you will find jobs. There are jobs out there. Now, you might not like some of the jobs, but there are jobs out there.
Okay.
And so there's 6.2 million in this country. Come on.
Okay. Well, let me bring Lewis back in. Lewis, are you still there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right. Did you hear what they were saying, Lewis? And what say you to that?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. I had a little
bit. Did you hear what they were saying?
Yes, I did. I listened in very well.
Okay, so what do you think about that?
I'm not sure her number, but the thing I think about it is most of that, she hit it right on the head about what I was saying. So where are your numbers to support what you're saying was my point, and the point that I'm trying to make with that is not to question the man, because I'm sure everything that he has said he has achieved and it's been overwhelmingly successful. But what I'm saying is, in my neighborhood, where does those numbers lie, and where do we progress? I could pass the mic. I could tell you this, and I could tell you that, but in the truth of things, when I step outside of my door and people that look just like me, or not just like me, but in my same classism, in my same retribute, I'm representing. I want to make sure that we are heard, and I want to make sure that when you say that you've done all these things, it wasn't just in your neighborhood. Let's push this nationally. Let's make sure that your successes don't become my downfall, because you didn't further that. You didn't push that on the national scale. So if you could tell me this on this radio station, that you have this success rate and you're keeping it within your own community, that's selfish. Because we need that out here. So for you to tell me that this is this and I don't have access to it, how can I ever grow? How can I grow? Right. How can you expect me to respect what you're saying to me? Because we don't have that in my neighborhood, and I want that.
Point well taken. Point well taken.
And I'm going to let my older cousin speak to you guys. I just want y'all. I got an outlook, too, but he also has a viewpoint. He's a little older than me.
Hold on one second. I'd like to
answer your question before you leave.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yes,
hey,
sir. Lewis?
Yeah,
I'm listening. Is this
Lewis? Yes,
all right, listen
is.
To Professor so he can ask you a question before you leave, and then give the phone to Cuz.
Okay.
Go ahead, Professor.
And Lewis, what you said is absolutely correct, and that is one of the things that I've shared with people on this show, that we are taking these solutions, the things that work. As you said, you want access to these solutions, and we're going to bring them closer to your community.
Absolutely.
And we're going to partner with churches. We're going to partner with community centers. And
absolutely,
one of the examples I gave is that you will be able to go to your local church and get a degree in computer science and go make $80,000 a year. We are going to bring it closer to you. I guarantee you. And if you would like to help, when we get to your city, I would love to engage you in that conversation, and you can
I
lead.
I will follow you anywhere, sir. If that's the conversation that you have to give me, on my response, not to cut you short, and I don't mean any disrespect with anything that I say, these are my personal feelings, not my thoughts.
Okay.
Well, these are my thoughts, but not just personal feelings. That's what I want to say. I'm sorry I said that the wrong way. I will follow you anywhere. I would do that with you and promote that with you in any area in America. I don't care if it's New York or if it's LA or if it's Japan or wherever. We could promote.
All right, Lewis. Stay tuned with him then, Lewis. I don't mean to cut you off, Lewis, but I got to manage conversation here. And right now we have a Facebook comment from Brother Richardson. Young people of today don't worry about self, but definitely worry about what everyone else is saying. Quit complaining and start retaining. Retain your life together.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while, but thanks to God, it will be in your best interest. That sounds reasonable to me. Now,
I agree with that.
In relationship to what we're saying, we're talking from, in case you're just tuning in, the topic of how to stay in the game after you've been knocked down. Now, Pastor Waller let us know that he has found a key to stand above and stand on his feet. That's good. We can use that. And I can attest to the fact that it's not just all conversation, because he has documented his process that he's found to be worthy in a book. Okay, so and you can go to our website to access that book at www.bscinstitute.com, and the back page there you can see that. But nonetheless, what we're trying to say is, and Lewis, I hear your passion, and I hear what you're saying, but I hope you consider this: that if no one ever comes to your city, there are opportunities that you must attain, and if you don't see any, create some for yourself.
You
but the catch is that there are opportunities out there. Now, what happens is there's a generation of people who, Lewis, you're correct when you assert that somebody has failed to pass on to you certain life change knowledge and skill sets for success, particularly older guys that's been there before you. If we don't pass it to you, what you've learned to do is what you know to do, and I'm not talking about you personally, Lord, but a lot of young guys in the streets, they've learned to adapt to the code of the streets and street justice. That's what they operate from. When you say they know better, yeah, that's what they know. That's all they know is what the streets have taught them. So when you come, when me or anyone else come and try to take that away from you without letting you know that there's another way that can expand your horizon behind where you are, beyond where you are, it's a fight. You understand? Because what you're trying to do is fight to protect what you know to be real for yourself. I understand it. I get that. And that's where the rub is. Is that you, 3072, trying to say something?
Yeah. I just wanted to add to what you were saying, and I'm in total agreement, and I love Lewis's passion, but I do agree. I mean, I cannot wait for anybody to come to my apartment and put food in my mouth.
Amen.
If I do that, I'm going to starve to death. I'm going to starve to death. I cannot wait for my friend to put a good word in at a hospital for me a job. She may or she may not, or she just may not be able to get me on. If I don't go and take the initiative myself, then I am nothing. I am nowhere, and I won't have nothing. So the young people, I mean, and Reuben, I mean, Pastor Dockery, you were talking about something being all somebody know. Just this past week, I learned people know what they want to know. Sometimes that's all they want to know. And I'm not saying you, Lewis. I'm just speaking in general. Sometimes they get so comfortable with being in such a bad place and being able to complain and not do, because to not to complain is to get up and work, to get up and make things better. To complain is easy, and it's a fake comfort zone is what it is.
Okay. Wow. Now, unless you put yourself in the shoes of somebody else, you don't appreciate where they're coming from. But here's the thing: when we look at the conditions socioeconomically in urban America, they haven't changed. It's a static population, and it hasn't changed for the last 40, 50 years. Now, only thing that's forcing a change is gentrification. And that is just moving them from one area to another. But they take the same mentality with them. Now, am I saying that that's a bad thing about them? I'm saying that it is a counterproductive mindset.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we can be most useful at is, in a loving way, Pastor Waller, letting our people know you don't have to fall and you don't have to stay down there if you fail.
That's right.
This is Lewis. I just
want to
reiterate.
Okay, come on, Lewis, brother. What's your name?
My name is Lavelle.
Thank you, brother, for being with us. Come on.
Yes, all right. Yeah, they told me not to promote my stuff, so I'm not going to do that. So, anyway, I like to hear me, A.T., over there.
Okay, go ahead.
I like to reiterate. This is what I feel about some of the things that I heard tonight. We go back to lifting yourself up, falling down, and all that stuff. You know, it's like this. The Lord always leave a window open. So if you fall down, pick yourself back up.
Say it.
For the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you pick yourself back up and know that you are man or woman, when you do it, you don't have that last breath within yourself to say something. All right? All right, another cap, I want to go on to the little politic thing as far as jobs and stuff. I'm a young entrepreneur. I'm 46 years old. I'm trying to get some things going on for a restaurant and all that stuff, you know. And like Lewis reiterated on that, you know, we don't have people here to show us. We don't have guiding We don't have, you know what I'm saying, people to try to show us how to do things and this and that. So, you know, we go ahead and voice ourselves towards the internet or the social media, mm-hmm. get ourselves lifted and bring ourselves out of the darkness into the light. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But
okay.
I want to leave you with this. Know this and know this only. God is with you. Remember the old saying, the footprints of the sand.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. So remember that, and I'm done with this, and I love all of you guys. And thank you.
Love you. Thank well you. Said.
And
well
I,
said.
Hey, listen, I appreciate Pastor you Godfrey. Seeing that with us right here on Talk Straight, my brother. I appreciate that. Okay.
No, not really. You know, I was just thinking about even, you know, the way you're saying open up a restaurant. Nothing is wrong with that. But, you know, if I'm going to open up a restaurant, believe me, I'd have went and got me a degree in culinary arts. You know, and if I had to start setting, if I had to put a grill on the street to get started off and build myself up, that's a route I'd take and I hope right there. Hey, Professor, what you say about that, Professor?
Hold on 1 second. Lewis, was that you? Were you trying to say something, Lewis?
The Pastor Dockery was me, Professor Roberts.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Professor.
Can you be a hater? Man, my whole family's on depression.
One of the things that I'd like to say, if you're thinking about getting starting a business, I strongly recommend that you go to SCORE and get a mentor. And or find the Black Chamber of Commerce or Small Business Development Center in your area. They have resources available. I am a SCORE mentor. If you would like to give me a call, I can, you know, I'll work with you through your business
That's
plan
awesome.
And so on.
That's awesome.
Hello.
Great.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I said, go to SCORE and go to the Small Business Development Center and see if there's a Black Chamber of Commerce in your area. There should be one. And as I said, if you want, you can reach out to me. I'm a SCORE mentor.
All right, great.
That's good.
Okay. Let me go back to Pastor Waller. Pastor, You're probably out there right now as we speak.
Okay,
yes, sir.
And when it comes to convincing someone who's used to medicating their pain with the lie, if you will, with alcohol, with drugs, gambling, or any of those other things that will allow them to escape reality, we got a caller coming in here in just a second. But go ahead, Pastor. Tell us, how do you approach that?
People that are out there just as you're speaking right now, kept into the trap. Most people will even say there is no trap. But let me explain something to you. If you've never been in the trap, then you don't know nothing about the trap. But when you're in the trap and you discover that you're in the trap, all you would like to do is get out of it if you could. And when you discover that trap is so deep that you can't get out without help. So my approach is to recognize, number one, that the people that I see daily are in a trap.
Okay.
I'm not trying to come out of the trap. I just introduced them to a way to escape.
Right.
They appreciate it. I even talked to one today. They never do anything in front of me. But I know what they're doing.
Okay.
And they're thankful for what I'm doing, keeping hope alive, because I wouldn't want nobody to come and try to force me out of getting the money that I was getting when I'm in a deep sleep and I don't know any better. And then you don't.
Go ahead, Pat.
Not your approach. And I was glad nobody approached me like that. And you have to consider yourself being out there. Would you want somebody to?
Somebody making a call to an automatic voice message system. 6158530390 is not available.
There's a caller on the
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
There is a caller on the line who was trying to call in. For some reason or other, my switchboard is not bringing the callers in directly. So we were just trying to dial him directly. I apologize for that. Is that you, 615, are you there? 0390. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm not sure what that is. Pastor, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and
go
ahead, Pastor.
What were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying the guys that's on the street, man, I mean, they're in a trap, brother, and it's not that they want to be in the trap. And a lot of times, if a person never experienced doing drugs or selling, if a person had never sold drugs before and sell some drugs, get fast money, and all of a sudden, you're going to think about going to McDonald's or wherever else you used to work, that's ludicrous because the money that you're getting right then and there has got you attracted to it. And that's what happened with me myself. That was my own example, my experience. And so it's so many that are doing the same, not because it's meant, the trap is not set there for them accidentally. This is done purposely. And so you talked about something, for instance, you talked about the book, where you can get the book at and things. We've been talking about this book quite a while on here. Simple $15 book. Don't you know that to be able to reject an opportunity to maybe purchase a book or cases of books or doing things. So these brothers are talking about the things that they're doing when they walk out their door and seeing the things that they're seeing. I mean, these are the kind of people that's already captured. And going to get a job is like not on the agenda at that time. But if you put a book in their face and say, read this, young brother, it's an easy read. Explain it to them. I bought a case of books. I'm just going to give them away. You'll be amazed on the power of one person changing. If one person changed, that's a win right there. But I noticed that said, hey, man, I purchased the book, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I was talking on a broadcast just the other day, and I was letting them know that it was available. And this book is a book that will take a person who is captured and teach them how to be free and also teach a generation how to not get captured. This person told me, said, but nobody's going to read. You got to take it to a school to get success. Wait a minute. This is not trying to get success. This is trying to break down strongholds. I'm not trying to get no success. I'm not trying to get money off no book. I'm trying to help get people free. And John A. said, you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's time for the truth, no matter what arena it's in. You know, and people are you got all these gifts on this broadcast right now in whatever area. It's like a team, right? So what can be presented right now? What can be purchased right now? What can we do about right now? And with the way this brother's crying on the other end, I know it has to do with a lot of that that's going on in his area. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he don't know nothing about the book. What about getting the book in his hand?
Right.
Just give him an opportunity to get the book in his hand. Watch what happens to him. He'll come back and tell you whether the book was any good or not, whether it might do some good or not. We have to do what we need to do right now.
But Pastor
right
Wallace,
now,
hold on. Hold on.
Yes,
372.
Yes, sir.
I got a new caller that's been waiting.
Right.
I was trying to allow Pastor Wallace to finish his thought. But give me a second.
Yeah,
I'll come back around to you guys. Pastor, go ahead and finish, and we're coming right to you. 615-0390, coming right to you. Just a second. Go ahead, Pastor. Finish your thought.
Yeah, man, compassion is big.
You have reached
me.
The maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Okay.
To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, compassion is big to me. You know what I mean? Because one had compassion on me, you see. So that's why I'm so compassionate about realizing what I do know that works. This ain't no if, and, or buts about this right here. This works only if you follow the instructions. And just like anybody else who has some things to present, it'll work only if you follow the instructions. So I don't have – this is all I have to offer. You know what I mean? Something that I know works, and I believe that they deserve to know. Yeah, they deserve it.
Hold that thought, Brother Pastor. Hold that thought. Caller 615-0390. You there?
Yes, definitely. I'm here, young man.
All right. We appreciate your patience. Question or comments? You're on Talk Straight.
Well, I just first want to say thank you for putting the show together like this.
Absolutely.
Doc, and thanks for having the pastor and the young lady, and then the young men that are actually on here that are trying to get help.
Yes.
One of the things that I'd like to say before I continue, and it's just pretty much comments. We are Knights of, we are the black version of the Knights of the Round Table. Okay, so it's very important before we all get off this phone, a line, the visual, we need to make sure that we stay connected, not just one or two times, but after we leave from here. Like, for example, you can go and follow me right now on Instagram at DonRich_42. Even to the young man that needs someone to talk to. I do motivational videos, you know, so it's a thing of try to go get that book, young man, that the pastor is willing to give you. Even the young lady that's on the phone, continue to do your thing. I'm very proud of everyone on this phone. Continue to touch lives, because here it is, and I said this last night, Doc, that we are all pieces of a puzzle, okay?
Okay.
And in order to be that perfect piece, we have to be willing to have open arms and let God allow him, letting God put us where we need to be. And this is the place where we need to be started at, right here. But this is my closing before, because I don't talk long unless
okay.
I'm you know, invited somewhere, and then someone says, you know, Mr. Richardson, would you like to speak? And if I'm
okay.
Have to speak in front of audience, then it'll be a little bit more intense than this.
Okay.
But the whole thing that I want to get everybody to understand is that in order to make this work, we have to continue to stick together with Doc and support him. Okay? That's not only that, but we have to support each other. That's all I have to say for now.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you, sir. We got a call from 334-3122. Welcome to Talk Straight. Question, comment?
I'm down here in Selma, and I just got through talking to a cousin of her, Mr. Dockery. And he just informed me. I want you to listen now. He informed me that he paid some guys $800, and they ain't got a dime the next day because they smoking crack. So you asked me what Congressman Cooper and all of them really doing up there in Nashville, because guess what? You gerrymandered that map, and you cut it all up, and you flooded the community with drugs, and you set folks up there. See, I'm from Tennessee. I'm looking right there at you. So I want to know why come the economics is not coming to our community like it should for our young people and for the generation now.
All right. Great question. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who's willing to answer this? Because I got bullets for days on that. This is 615.
Hold on one second.
All right. Well, Pastor, what's the question? Restate the question, please.
All right, hold on one second. What the gentleman out of Selma, Alabama, is asking is, where are the resources for young guys? He used the scenario that he just spoke to someone in Nashville who paid some guys $800 and they smoked it up using crack, he said. And he wants to know what the elected officials and things of that nature are doing to address that. That was his question. Did you want to respond to that, Professor Robert?
Yeah, I'm trying to see the connection between paying people money and their choice to go smoke it up in crack.
And then you got to ask the question, where are all these drugs coming from in our neighborhood, too?
Yeah, that's a dope problem.
Well, drugs are not just in the black neighborhoods. You also have drugs in poor white neighborhoods. You have drugs in the suburbs. Drugs are not just in the black community.
All right, so, gentlemen, let me tell y'all what I'm seeing. I'm seeing us getting away from my topic, how to stay in the game after being knocked down. So I'm going to bring us back to my topic.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm gonna bring us back to my topic. I appreciate where y'all are going. Maybe another night, another day, we'll go there. But tonight, let's stay right here. And if y'all tell me about how we can stay on our feet, in the game of life, even when you have experienced a setback or have been knocked down. That's where I want y'all to stay with me tonight. For the next 20 minutes. We got 20 more minutes. I appreciate everybody. 8112, you back with us?
Woo!
8112, you back with us? Okay, it looked like we missed it there. All right, that's all right. So, 3072. I don't know what's going on. Switch. Everybody in time. Okay.
Too much.
3072, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
hello?
You were trying to take something earlier.
I don't remember now what it was. I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Okay,
that's all right.
I
still love you like peanut butter love jelly. So let's bring it back around. Brother Richardson, I appreciate what you're saying. Let me bring it back to where we are. Gentleman out of Peoria, Illinois, raised some very good points. And the bottom line is, I know what I'm talking about. Okay, and you all may or may not be able to identify with what I'm talking about, but just because I know that don't mean everybody else know and understand that and how to take advantage of that. So the approach to providing instruction for people is to understand that as an effective teacher, you must be able to gauge where they are first and to provide qualitative instruction and be able to measure how much they've learned based on a change in their thought and action. That takes time. That's not going to happen overnight. Now, the stuff that a lot of young cats been doing in urban America, I come from there, I know about it. They've been doing it a long time, and they've mastered that. They've mastered cutting corners. They've mastered running from the police. They've mastered engaging in illegal activities to sustain themselves. That's what they know how to do more than anything else, even if they don't have the soft skills to stay on a job. I've taken many young men and assisted them with getting jobs, and many of them didn't stay there beyond 3 months because their mind wasn't there. Their body was there standing behind the counter, but their man was somewhere else on the corner. That's the reality.
And so,
and Pastor, can I say something?
Sure.
When I went to the detention center and the young men told me that, what I told them was, it's fine. You can choose to sell drugs, but do it someplace where it's legal. I'm not telling you not to sell drugs. I'm telling you do it someplace where it's legal. Don't go to jail. Go someplace where you can do it and it's legal.
Now let me ask you, this is Mr. Richardson talking. Now, as far as, and I'm sorry to cut in. Now, the only problem with what you just said, with the selling drugs thing, I was in the streets as well. So what I did was I had to turn, here we go again, I just said this a few nights ago, I had to turn negativity into productivity. In other words, what I'm saying is I'm not mad about you selling. I'm upset about the product that you're selling. We need to change the product. If we're going to teach them how to sell product, sell a house, sell a product. Sell some health insurance.
Okay.
You know.
Well, can I chime in?
Hold on 1 second. I'm getting somebody's feedback in the background there. Go ahead, Brother Richardson. I apologize.
And you're okay. I heard the young lady begin to make comments.
We'll get to her in just a second.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish your talk, Brother.
Okay.
You got the floor, Brother Richardson. Finish your thought.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So one of the things that I've talked about on one of my motivational videos was education. I just talked about this last week. Is the government education more constructive than underground education? Now, we talk about Harriet Tubman and how much she was a leader and how much she did this and that, those and the others, but are we following some of the things that Harriet Tubman did? No.
I see.
Now, don't get me wrong. Now, don't get me wrong, yes, as far as Harriet Tubman selling some slaves to the government, I have nothing to do with that. Basically, we can learn from someone's mistakes as well as someone's good lessons. So it's a two-part thing in that. Yes, whatever she did as far as selling slaves to the government, I don't have nothing to do with that. But the thing I have something to do with is the fact that she did underground railroads, okay? We have to start teaching our young boys on these streets underground education, survival skills. We have to start teaching them our history. They're not intrigued with the government's history at all. They're not intrigued by how the government teaches them. That's why that's why the rate for young black men in school is majorly dropping because they don't care. And then as far as our mothers, fathers teaching them and their aunts and uncles, they look at us like y'all doing the same thing working. I'm tired of working. I need to see an entrepreneur doing something,
which I
understand. They need to see more black people with businesses. But no, we are so proud to get up early Monday through Friday and go work for Mr. Tom. We are so happy to do that. But when it's time for us to own our own businesses, we don't want to go away and start. We don't want to do that. Why? Because we are jealous of each other.
Okay.
Number one,
all right.
Everybody wants to be on. Everybody wants to be on top. It's not going to work.
Right.
No sir.
I got you. Your point is duly noted. Duly noted. Let me go to 3072. Our time is kind of getting away from us. Go ahead, 3072. What were you going to say?
I was just going to agree with what Professor was saying about. And I'm not an advocate for anybody selling drugs, but that's a great point. So whatever you're going to do, you need to make sure you're able to do it by the law, because the problem is, people going to jail and locked up and all, whatever you're going to do. If you're going to sell food, get licensed to do it. Establish your business within the black chambers of commerce. Do all the things because we live here in America, and that's what America is said, that you have to, whatever rules you have to go by, what I'm saying, you should try to make sure you do that rather than ducking and dodging and looking over your shoulder every 5 seconds. That's not good.
Okay.
It's a miserable life. It's a miserable life.
8112, are you there? Not sure what's going on there, but okay. So let's do this. Pastor Waller, we have about 11 minutes, and what I want to do is to make sure that before we finish tonight that we have some concrete resolution. How? What is the process? Now, what I heard you say, Pastor Waller, is that you change your outlook. You change your course of action, and that has sustained you for a number of years. Outcast is the same thing. That's powerful.
It's the truth.
Now, if you were talking
to... Can I say something?
Okay, you're back now.
I've been on here.
Go ahead, right. Hold on, Pastor Waller. Go ahead, 8112.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I respect everything that you said. I got my phone back for a reason. My point is, we can make excuses.
Yes.
This is how I taught my family. But when it comes down to the bottom line, Lewis is a smart man. He's never been a prisoner or anything.
Okay.
And he's college-wise. And like I say, going over there, portraying yourself as being a crash dummy, and you're not. This man knows a lot of things. He's capable of doing a lot of great things. But we cannot walk through life acting as if your problems is everybody else's. Because everybody got their own problems. Everybody got their problems. As an adult, You say what you say you mean and you do. As the repercussion of what you do will follow you.
Right.
This is me talking now.
Okay,
if
well, you saying
if you choose to do what you need to do, it's going to follow you.
Okay.
If you choose to do something different, you can scream to the mighty heavens, skies of heaven. But you choose. Lewis ain't no big-time dope dealer. Lewis is just like them kids out there portraying he's a grown man, now mind you, and very intelligent. He has college skills and everything, and I said don't portray yourself as no crash damn dummy. Excuse my French pastors.
Well, we don't believe
that.
He has. We don't believe he has.
I am speaking now, and I respect the fact when he gets ready to bring it home, he gonna bring it home. But like I told him, don't get on here doing something different. Tell the truth about
right.
yourself. You got them thinking you're a dope dealer and this and that.
No, we didn't believe in drugs.
And when people do it, I figure we should reach out and help them young, old, whoever they are. And I am on here for a purpose. And I thank you. And I thank you guys for listening.
Absolutely.
And I said again, Happy Father's Day to y'all, but I was a mother and a father because I ain't had no other choice. I was supposed to have a choice, but then I had to step up to play and do what I need to do as a mama. And I can't do everything as a daddy, but I can point your way in the right doggone direction.
All right. Well stated. We appreciate that. Let me just say for the record before I go to Pastor Waller that we had the pleasure of having Lewis on just past Tuesday, and I thought he did a fabulous job at representing himself
too.
And articulating who he is.
And
so
he
got to step in a little bit. 8112, let me talk. Now.
Yes, sir.
Let me talk. All right. And so we understand where he's coming from, and we got it on record. You can go back and listen to that whole broadcast if you want to. But let me do this. Pastor Waller, I was coming to you to bring closure to our conversation. You and Outkast, will you sum up in a few words the steps that were useful for you in terms of changing your life around?
Yeah, I can utilize the word of God, Pastor Dockery.
However you do it, that's good.
Yes. This is what happened with me. I didn't know anything about the word of God. I was willing to learn. And I heard a word that said God was able, so I had to try it for myself. And then the outcome came that don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey. And that's what happened with me. I knew I was a slave for what I used to do, and now I became a slave for righteousness. It's just an exchange that was made. And when you make an exchange, that's what's going to take place from the exchange, something different took place. And it may seem hard to do, but once you get to the other side and you realize it, you know, you just start walking according to what chains broke. And that's what and why I say that I would never go back to using drugs again or selling drugs again, because those are things that I got free from. And
Pastor, hold it. You do recognize that circumstances that are unforeseen often can force all or any of us to change our course of action. You recognize that, right?
Yes, no, it's not easy.
Okay, but so you would agree that it don't make you a bad person if a circumstance that's unforeseen caused you to have to change your course of action to deal with it?
No, not a bad person. No, you're not a bad person at all. No, sir.
Okay, all right. The truth of the matter is that a lot of people think that if I'm not able to do exactly what I said I want to do, I'm a failure. It's over with. I quit. Forget about it. Well, the truth of the matter is, oftentimes you may have to tweak your plan, but the idea that you stuck with it and saw it through makes you a winner. Mm-hmm. I said it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins.
That's right. That's the trick right there.
But when you're in the game, you got to know how to make the appropriate adjustments to make it to the last quarter. If you don't, and you can't play by your own rules now, a lot of young cats get to the point where they're going to come tell the so-called quote-unquote white man how to play their game. They've been running this game for a long time. You need to learn the rules of that game if you stand a chance of winning it. Now,
exactly.
It may not be right, and you may think that those games, those rules are not fair, but guess what? When you're in control of your own game, you can make the rules, and then you can tell who can play and who can't play. Until then, you need to learn the rules of the game you're in so that you can master them, and you stand a better chance of winning them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how you stay in the game when you get knocked down.
I agree.
If you lay there, you ain't going to win.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. You can ask the turtle and the rabbit. See? The rabbit thought he was so fast that he'll beat a turtle any day. But the turtle understood that rabbit's going to go so fast, he'll wear himself out. And the minute he goes to sleep, I'm going to walk myself across the finish line. When he wakes up, he won't know what happened.
My goodness.
So you can fool yourself now. You can fool yourself. But anyway, man, look at the time. Doggone it. We got 4 minutes. Guys, thank you all so much. Let me just try to go through here. If you will, just maybe 20 seconds of a final thought, and we want to try to catch up. But Outkast, going with you first.
Oh, I let someone else go. I think I've said enough of them.
All right.
No, I mean, I'm just here, you know. I mean, like, I always tell the truth, shame the devil. You know, what I say sometimes may seem hard, but at the end of the day, the truth is the truth. These young people, instead of you feed them, you clothe them, and they looking at you, and they want more. No, I feed you, clothe you, reared you for X amount of years. Now, you go do what I didn't do. You want a business, you go get it. I'm about to retire, I hope.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. All right, 37-2, right quick.
Just glad to be on here. Love all you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing with us. All right, Professor, final thought there, man, before we get out of here?
I guess for me, I'm going to kind of piggyback on Outkast and, you know, facts matter. There are opportunities out there. We have to at some point stop making excuses and accepting excuses from people and start to, you know, help bring the solutions closer but still push them towards the existing solutions that are out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Well said. Well said. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Okay, 0390, final thought before we get out of here right quickly. We got just a couple of minutes here. 615-0390, you there?
Yes, if you can change your mind, you can definitely change your grind. That's all I got to say.
That'll preach right there, boy. Well, we appreciate that. Okay, 8112,
yes,
give me a final thought right quick before we get out of here. Okay, we're going to go on. 3122, final thought before we get out of here, man.
I kind of agree with the brother. You have to go underground and educate. I've been doing a lot of that in Selma, and when you they move forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Don, for joining us tonight. We will be back next Tuesday, Lord willing. Appreciate you there. 8112, you back yet? Turn your phone on. Turn your phone on, 8112. Okay, now they gone. All right. Pastor Waller, go ahead, sir. Take us on out of here.
All right. We thank God for everybody who had a chance to listen also and to talk. But I always want to make sure we need the necessary help that we need. So Psalms 121, verse 1 states very clear. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh our help. And that's what we need to be mindful of where our help comes from. So just be encouraged and keep on pushing.
Okay. Thank you. You all been listening to Talk Straight. www.bfcinstitute.com is where you can go to learn more about us. And as I said earlier, you can find Pastor Waller's book, Steel High, there at the in our back store there. Give us a call. There's a number you can call me, and let's dialogue. But we'll be back for another episode next Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We thank you very much, and we will see you then.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate